could talk about characters.
Yeah.
So releasing the catch, you know, I think the history of releasing the catch and why I wrote that is pretty well known at this point, but the characters were really fun to write. And when I first originally started them, I was using everyone's names that I knew of.
Because I was like, how do you start? Because even before you told me about that, when you first gave me the book and I was reading the catch, that's the first one I read. Like you told me your son's name, you told me this and that. I'm like, oh, so these people.
Yeah. And then you have a preconceived idea because you know who they are. So you, so that's why I won't ever do that again. But, and I'm trying to, like, I think I said before, trying to explain to somebody that you've written a character as an asshole. And then you try to say to them, you know, later that I named this character after you, but it really isn't you, but
It's just your name.
But that was kind of hard. So that's another reason why I try to not use names anymore for other things. But so we were talking about this, about Scrivener, and we were talking about the character templates and some of the stuff in there. And what I did with releasing the catch was I had written out the character arcs. So from birth to death of each of the characters that were in the book. So I know what happens to each one of those. I know releasing the catch like the back of my hand. I know all of the characters. I know where they come from, what their lives were like, and how they end their lives, or how they, you know, after the story's over, what happens to them and stuff. So So Faith. Should we just start with Faith? I guess. Okay. Well, Faith, and Jake, they obviously, she has had a complete arc to her. Actually, I can't really say what happens to them, right? Because that's a spoiler. So what should I talk about with the,
the inspiration behind it and why I chose to write use her, you know, like, as the, you know, make her as a strong woman character. Why is that so important?
Yeah, Faith was, it was really super important to have Faith be a strong person, and I wanted her strong from the beginning. I've had other books, like The Sea Archer, where Raven is, she starts off as somebody that's a very controlled person. And she grows stronger. I wanted Faith to be strong immediately. She had to become hardened because she's had a lot of loss in her life, significant losses.
Well, since she was little.
Yeah.
Like very, very young.
So she kind of starts to build this protective shield around her. And so she's not only fighting, it's like she's fighting not only herself, but she's fighting the world. And she has this big hard shell around her and everything, and has done things only one way her whole life. And then she's also only had Mac, a kind of a hardened man, to be kind of her guide and role model, and then along with her father. So it was, she needed to be really, really strong. And I really liked the way that she turned out. I think that she had her flaws and everything, but I think she also is such a strong person that she's able to overcome it. But her ability to kind of, well, without spoiling it at the very end, she really has to overcome something at the end as well. And so her ability to adapt and move on without it, I think each loss in her life has kind of like held her still. And so she needs to learn how to not just be still. She needs to be able to move on. And so
That's one of the hardest things when you do a loss, especially in the beginning. Right. Oh, now you do, but when you experience a loss, because you don't know.
Yeah.
Especially the first one, you don't have an idea how to overcome and how to move on, what it means. Like, you don't even realize how different your life is.
Right. You know, I do really think it's one of those things, and you've had this loss too, but like with my father-in-law, it's those moments right after where you're sitting there wondering how the world is moving on when you're standing still, and you're like, your whole entire world has just changed and everybody else is out there. They don't care.
Yeah, but you know, especially if it's somebody that close, somebody, a family member, you still have a lot of their physical things around you.
Yes.
It's just them not there, but everything else is the same.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's that feeling that I don't know how to explain it.
Well, and that, but the, to me, there's also that belief system. In my belief system, is that they aren't gone. I do feel that energy and things around. So to me, that's how you kind of move forward.
You want to have a conversation with them. You can't. You want to pick up the phone and call. You know, like my mother-in-law, we used to talk every day in the morning and then after work. Mm-hmm. And every time I had a question about how to cook something or how to buy something or, you know, ask her opinion on things, I would call her. And in the beginning, you grab the phone and you want to call and you realize there's nobody there.
Yeah. And that's the hard, that's the part, right? That's just it. That's when you, or, you know, every once in a while, I mean, even now, there will be times where Jeff and I are on the boat and I'll see something going by and it will be just so familiar because that was something we did with Chuck or something. And so I wanted Faith to be somebody that was kind of stuck and needed to learn that life does go on and that she can still have those memories and hold on to them and keep them and they can be, make her who she is. But she also has to understand that she can't isolate herself and harden herself to that. She needs to be open and continue to move on because ultimately that's what the people that we love that pass on before us want, right? I mean, if somebody loves us, they're going to want us to move on and they're going to want us to be happy and have good, healthy lives and those kinds of things. So Faith was all about that. Mac, of course, was a little amalgam of my father-in-law and Captain Phil from the Deadliest Catch. At the time, they died actually fairly close together. And so it was, it was very interesting how that whole thing, but Mac needed to be hard too, right? Because he was also abandoned in a different way. You know, death is kind of an abandonment. So it's unintentional, but it is kind of an abandonment where, you know, he's abandoned by his mother and his father.
I can't even imagine how you would feel being abandoned by your parents.
Right? That seems like that would be...
Especially at a young age,
because he
was fairly young.
Well, and then you don't have a frontal lobe to kind of process that either. So you're sitting there, well, what's wrong with me that my parents didn't want me when it had absolutely really nothing to do with you? It's totally more of a character flaw and failure in their part. But so Mac had to become hardened as well, but he always really loved Murren, and he always measured everybody he was with against that woman who just was frozen in time as this perfect person. And so one of the things from the catch to releasing the catch was Rosie's character arc. I did want to complete her arc.
You know, I didn't like her the first time.
Yeah.
I didn't like her.
Yeah.
Second time. Yeah. I'm like, oh, she's cool.
She actually has substance to her. And I never could get that across in the first one, but I wanted her arc to be closed. I wanted her to have this redemption about her. Because when you think about it, if you fall in love with somebody and they're in love with somebody else, you know, that's got to be horribly painful. And, you know, trying to do everything you can, especially when you're fighting against somebody that's passed on. Now you're fighting against this dead woman that's just perfect in his mind. And if she had grown old and he'd been around her more, he would have seen her character flaws too. But because Rosie's alive and Murren is dead, it's very hard to compete against that. So I loved Rosie's arc. I think I closed it in a way that I was really, really happy with. And I loved how Faith and her were able to kind of come together as well. And she was able to have that kind of mother figure that she really, really longed for too.
I was surprised by that in the releasing the catch, but I was actually happy.
Yeah.
Because Faith needed somebody that she could go to.
Yeah.
Like, ask her about period
and exactly. Yeah. Which is one of my favorite scenes, by the way, with her and Mac talking.
Yeah.
I loved that little exchange, and that was so organic and so it was really cool. Now in terms of like some of the other characters, you know, the boys, Brady and Charlie. Charlie obviously is my son's name, and his best friend growing up was Brady. And the two of them got into a lot of trouble and were just characters and so much fun to be around all the time. So I had, you know, it just made sense. I thought about changing their names for the second book, but I just couldn't because they were just so much a part of the first one. So anyway, those boys, I wish I could tell you what happens to them because most people would probably hate me if I told you, but it's a spoiler, so I can't. But they're just those two. I think everybody knows people like them, you know, that just live life to the fullest and on high turbocharge and maybe never really completely grow up. You know, they're 30, you know, years old in this book, but they could.
No, you're not talking about your son now.
No, my son's 25 and he's still, there's just this light, you know, in there that, where Faith is, my daughter's name is Paisley Faith Heckman. And so, Faith, there's qualities about Faith that are in my daughter that are, just that solid iron core, somebody that is really strong and, capable and, amazing. And that's Paisley. And in the same way that Charlie has this crazy light that is, just, it draws you in and you want to be part of that light. So, that's kind of the way the characters played out. I'm trying to think, oh, Nels. Okay. So I think I've said this before, but Nels, my great grandfather's name was Nels Pearson. And, it was funny, just a couple weeks ago, we had dinner at my mom and dad's or at my sister's house and my mom and dad were there. And this is my dad's grandfather. And I had heard stories about Nels Pearson growing up, that he was just this hard, hardcore Swede. He would like surf down, like he was a logger and he would surf down the mountainsides on the logs. He loved to be up on the logs as they would like slide down and stuff. My dad was just telling me this story. And, you know, he is always static for me in pictures. This man had tree trunk arms. It was so muscular and, this shock of black hair and it always kind of a stern face. And he just looked like the biggest badass you've ever met. And I've seen these pictures of him growing up, but I'd never had his words. And my dad told this story about him in the logs and about some of the things that he used to say. And it brought him to life for me in a way that I just never experienced before. And it made me so happy because it really was more like the Nels in the book where, you know, he was a quiet man, but you know, when he said something, he paid attention and all this stuff. So anyway, so that's Nels. Who am I missing?
I think that's it. There are a lot of other characters not that important to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But releasing the catch. Oh, well, Jake. No, he really, he's kind of more of a supporting person in the book. It really is a true woman's fiction. Yeah, so
It is.
Yeah. So those are the characters are releasing the catch.
Okay, I think that's going to wrap it up for Jenny's Table Tales today. I hope you have an absolutely splendid day, and I want to really thank you for joining me, and I hope to hear from you and see you next time.